And so let's look at it. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Everybody said, pitch it within. Pitch it within and without. Everybody said without. Within and without. That's the inside and the outside. Pitch it with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Amen. Very, very familiar story here in the Old Testament, very first book of the Bible. And it is the story of Noah and the ark. Now, I know that some of you have studied this, you've read this, you've heard it preached from before, but I pray tonight that every one of you will help me and be in prayer while the Word of God is going forth tonight. Amen. That it will find its mark in somebody's heart. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together and ask for God to do that tonight. Lord, we lean on your word right now. We need the touch of the word of God. Your word is anointed. Your word is spirit and it is life. I thank you for the word tonight. I pray that you will find the mark, that the word of God will find its mark in every heart, and that you will speak to us, Lord, for we need to hear from you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Now, don't get settled in and fall asleep, all right? Amen. I've got a songbook somewhere here I'll just throw at you. No, I'm just teasing. We don't have songbooks. I'll have to get the projector down and throw it at you. But you'll be out the door before I get that done. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, the story of the flood here is one of God's judgment and of God's love. And we can see that when we examine it a little bit closer here. To the sinner, it is a story of judgment. To the believer, it is the love of God and bringing salvation. Amen. So it depends on which side you're on. If we're a believer, then we will definitely escape the judgment of God. And if we are an unbeliever, we will face the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. God looked upon this world, and you can read the whole story there in Genesis, and I won't take the time tonight, but God looked upon the whole world, and I've said it this way before, that God did a missionary journey throughout the whole world. And I know God is everywhere. But he went into every house, he went into every village, he went into every city, he went everywhere, and he listened to what was being said, and he watched to see what people were doing upon the earth. And it's amazing to me that out of the whole world at that time, no one really knows how many were living at that point in time, but out of the whole world, he found one man that was righteous before him. He found one man that was loving God, talking to God. The Bible says that Noah was perfect and Noah walked with God. And the Bible says that God spoke to him. And we read it here where God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come, and I need you to build an ark for the saving of your house. And the ark represents some things here that we want to talk about tonight. And in this Bible study, the story of Noah here, where the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah received grace because he walked with God and was there whenever God needed him. You know, God's looking for somebody that he can trust. He's looking for someone that he can commit the true riches of the Word of God, and we will not abuse it. We will not take it lightly, but we will jump in and live for the Lord. Amen. And the plan of salvation was wrapped up in this blueprint for the ark. He told him how long, how wide, how tall to make it, told him how many floors were going to be in the ark. There would be three floors in this ark, and I call it the ark of salvation because it was their salvation. And he worked on it. Estimates are that Noah and his family worked on this ark for 120 years. That's a long time. Now, I don't know how long you've worked on a project. I've got a few projects that, they're sitting out in the shed, and I haven't been out there for a number of years to check on the project. I'm afraid that if I open it up, the mice have probably chewed it all up already. Well, praise the Lord. I guess I'm the only one that has those things. But, you know, this was so important that year after year, there was no inspirational church to go to. There was nothing to motivate Noah except the Word of God. And when I say except, I'm not diminishing the Word of God, because the Bible says the Word of the Lord will dwell forever. It will abide forever. And there is power in the Word of God, whether we feel it or whether we don't feel it. Whether we see it or whether we don't see it, there is power in the Word of God. And there were specific dimensions. If you look in the Old Testament in different places, one great example would be the tabernacle in the wilderness, and I'm not going to get into that tonight. But the Lord told them, make it so wide, so long, so tall. Do this, do that, make it to this specific dimensions. Excuse me. And this is the way I want you to do it. You know, we're living in a time today where almost anything goes. It doesn't matter how you sacrifice to God. It doesn't matter about these things. But when Cain and Abel came before the Lord accepted one and he rejected the other. And the story of Noah is another similar story to that, that God gave specific direction and dimensions for the building of this gigantic ark. Amen. And one of the things we know for sure about the ark is the method that God used to seal the ark. And I want to talk about the Holy Ghost tonight. Excuse me. I want to talk about the Holy Ghost because this ark of salvation had three floors. And when we look at salvation in the New Testament, there are three steps, or three things rather, that we must do. We must repent. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We'll look at that scripture here in just a minute. But he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. That probably was cypress wood, modern-day cypress wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And that word pitch there comes from the word kafir, the Old Testament Hebrew word kafir, K-A-P-H-E-R, and it means, or kofir, K-O-P-H-E-R, it is a cover. And he said, I want you to pitch it within and without with pitch. And it is specifically, somebody said, praise the Lord. Specifically, it means bitumen or tar. And so on the outside of the ark, they had to seal it with tar. And on the inside of the ark, they had to seal it with tar. Very, very similar to the hot tar pits that we have here in America. You can smell them from miles away. Very, very similar to the hot tar that we lay down on the roads that we drive on, the tar roads or the asphalt. We call it asphalt. It is the very same thing that goes into the shingles that are on the roof of your house. It is tar paper, and it is made out of bitumen. It is made out of tar. And it has a capacity to shed water. Water will not mix with tar, but it sheds the water. And so the Lord told him, he said, I want you to seal it on the inside and seal it on the outside. And this definition here, the real definition of that word pitch is a cover. Amen. And that word is really interesting. They covered the ark with it, but it was a covering that literally brought about the salvation of Noah and his family. And really, it should not surprise us in the figurative definition of that Hebrew word for pitch is also words like atonement or cleanse or put off. There was something necessary to put off the briny salt water that was going to attack the side of that ark as it went through the flood, as it was crashing against the waves. There had to be something that would seal it, something that would keep it clean on the inside. And you say, why would they have to put the pitch on the inside? Well, they had to have fresh water. They were in that boat for almost a year, and they had to have fresh water. And so they couldn't have any contact with the water on the outside of the boat. They had to have it sealed on the inside to keep the good things in and sealed on the outside to keep the bad things out. Praise God. And there is something about this thing of sealing here. And why would these words be placed as a sealer for the ark? And I think that we'll see it if we just examine it real quickly here tonight. The wood that they had was gopher wood, and it really doesn't matter what kind of wood you're talking about. We see pictures of a polished and a shiny painted ark with animals' heads sticking over the side and Noah with a big smile. It's in children's books, and we see different pictures like that. But Noah and his family in those days did not have modern equipment like we have to plane down a piece of wood and make it smooth and make it to the exact dimension. I've got a feeling that there were cracks in the wood. You just cut down a tree and cut it into a board and let it sit outside for 120 years. And what'll happen is it'll get cracks in it, and it'll try to warp. It'll try to move a little bit. And it was necessary for them to protect, but it was also necessary for them to cover. Amen. Because when you have two pieces of wood that are together, if they're not exactly right, water will seep in between those cracks. And not only that, you will see the imperfections of the wood. And so the covering covers up the imperfections of the wood. Now, I'm going somewhere here tonight, so please help me and stay with me. As the tar began to soak into the wood, it made a permanent seal to keep that salt water out of the ark. They could not afford to have that happen. They didn't have pumps down in the belly of the ship to pump out the water. They didn't have those things that we have in modern ocean-going ships today. And so in order to seal or to cover, he chose pitch. Amen. And he said, pitch it within and without with pitch. And when the person came along that was inspecting the ark, I don't think they had a code inspector back in those days, but when somebody came along, or Noah came along and inspected the ark after it was done, he couldn't see any imperfections. All he could see was the covering. All he could see was the black pitch that had gone in and crawled in between the cracks and filled up the little imperfections in the wood. And all he could see was the covering that God provided for this boat. Amen. And some say, well, the flood never happened. That's a whole nother Bible study. But the reality of it is, all of the sedimentary rocks that we see in the world, many, many examples prove that there was a catastrophic flood that covered the earth. And I won't even go into that tonight, but it is a fact that the ark floated. The length and the width and the height of the ark is actually the same measurements, not the actual measurements, but the measurements relative to each other that ocean-going vessels. It is the most stable dimensions for a ship on the sea. And so they use that today for ocean-going vessels as well. And so it's no coincidence that when the Lord chose the ark to save Noah and his family, it is no coincidence that he was looking forward to your day and my day. Amen. He was looking forward to a time when he would bring salvation in another way. I'm glad we don't have to work on a boat to be saved for 120 years. I've worked on some projects, and after I was done, I didn't want to see a hammer or a saw or any kind of tool. Amen. You get really worn out about it. I cannot imagine working on the same project for 120 years, getting all of these animals in the boat, and then sitting there for 7 days before it even starts to rain. Amen. This man was a man of faith, and he walked with God, and God saved him. Now, go with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Amen. Say amen when you get there. All right, I want you all to see this. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. Which sometime were disobedient when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now think about this here tonight. That's an interesting twist on the story of Noah. But Noah and his family were saved by the water. Well, we could say they were saved by their faith, but there was more to their faith than just a confession or a profession. Praise the Lord. There was more to Noah's faith than saying, God, I believe you. Faith says you got to pick up a tool and start working. Faith says you've got to do something about what you've heard. And here they were saved by the water. How were they saved by the water? When the water rose, it lifted the ark up above the destruction, and the water that destroyed the world actually became the salvation of Noah and his family. Now let's read the next verse. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it was a figure. Everybody said a figure. It was a shadow of things to come. It was an example. God waited for 120 years until this boat was built as an example to you and I. None of us will stand before God and say, God, we don't have an example. There is an example right there. Amen. And the like figure, in the same way, and that's exactly what that means, in the same way, even baptism doth also now save us. And so baptism in water is essential. There had to be water for them to be saved. And he said, in the same way, baptism lifts us up out of the destruction that is coming upon our world. And friend, I'll tell you, every day I read about the current events that are taking place in our world, and everyone is just going along like there's no tomorrow. But I'm telling you, we must be prepared for the judgment that comes. Amen. And not just necessarily in our generation, but the last judgment, where each of us are going to stand before God and give an account of the things that we did in this life. Amen. God called Noah, and the call of God in his life was to build a boat. Amen. And he did it. He worked on it. But the call of God is not that way here today, but it is that way. Amen. God has got a call upon everybody that's here tonight. And if you'll receive this, God has a call for everybody down Henry Street, everybody down State Street, everybody in the United States, every person in this world. God has a plan and a purpose for their life. God has a plan for your life tonight. Amen. God has a plan for your life, and he will work it out if you'll grab the tools that he's given you. And I want to read those tools here tonight. Amen. And in fact, let me read one more. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. It says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." And another rendition in Matthew 24 says, "It shall be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And so Noah, the story of Noah is a story of salvation for him and his family, but it's also a story of God's salvation, amen, for anyone who will accept him and live for him, amen. And it is an example of what is taking place in the days before Jesus comes, amen. In Noah's day, there was violence. In Noah's day, there was anti-God sentiment. In Noah's day, there was no one that would serve the Lord. And it was just Noah, his three sons, and their wives. So there was eight people on the face of the earth that were willing to get in and spend their life for God. Amen. Now, I feel something when I say that tonight, but you can spend your life for this, that, and the other. Now, we all have to have our careers and our jobs and whatever it is that you do to make a living. But I want to spend my life for the will of God. Amen. The job that I work on, or the job that you work on, amen, it provides temporary needs. It's not eternal things. Amen. But if we will get a hold of the will of God for our life and spend our life for God, amen. Young person, spend your life for God. You only have one life, amen. You've only got one opportunity to pass through this way. Amen. I was told today, my wife told me that someone that I knew very close, haven't seen him in many years, he passed away this week. And I don't know if he knew the Lord or not. He was serving God at one time. We lived together and shared the rent on a place. We worked together on a couple of different jobs in Boston. And she said, "Oh, here it is. John has passed away." He's only 2 years older than me. Amen. And it makes you begin to think about things in life when those of your friends start passing away. Amen. Amen. Somebody smiled just a little bit. Well, you know, I've got a lot of years ahead of me. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you have a life. And whatever the length of your life, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. So we have an appointed number of days to live on this earth. And then we will stand before God in the judgment. It's really that simple. Amen. And so I want to spend my life for God. How about you? I want to spend it for God. I want to give it to God. I want to, and as menial as it might be, it might just be planing boards for 120 years. It might just be whittling pegs instead of steel nails. I don't know if they had steel nails or not. But whatever it was, there was a lot of monotonous things that had to be done for a long time to do the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. And so when we look at it here, we look at it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and 39. Turn there with me tonight. And some of you can quote this, I'm sure. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and verse 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody said, repent. Now, if I had the chalkboard over here, I would draw out an arc. If you can just imagine this boat, the side, you're looking at the side of this boat, and it's long. It's 1.5 football fields long. It's really tall. It's about 4 or 5 stories tall, and it's 50 feet or so wide, 75 feet wide, whatever it was. Big, big, big. And you're looking at the side of this boat, and if you can kind of get an idea, there are 3 floors, according to the Word of God in Genesis. There are 3 floors. So there are 3 compartments. Amen. 3 different compartments. And the bottom compartment really was the foundation. It was the structure, the superstructure of the ark. And the Bible says, repent. The thing that will give us the superstructure of our life, the thing that will usher us into the kingdom of God, the thing that will keep us in the time of storm, we won't snap and break, we won't give in, amen, is repentance. Repentance simply means to turn away from sin, ask God for forgiveness of your sin, be genuinely sorry for your sin. I'll tell you, there is a power in repentance. Every great revival in this world, in history, started out with a great time of repentance. Amen. If we don't repent, Jesus said, we will not be saved. And so there's the first floor, is repentance. And then he said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so now you're looking at the ark, and the second floor has a door in it. And the Bible says that God shut the door. But isn't it amazing that Jesus came along a long time later than the ark, and he said, I am the door. Amen. I am the door. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so baptism remits sins. Let me just stop there for a moment tonight, because I'm relating the salvation of Noah and the ark to our salvation today. What did the flood do on the earth? It remitted, or it washed away, all of the wickedness of the world, didn't it? But what did it do to Noah and his family? It preserved them. Amen. It brought them salvation. And when they came down to a brand new earth where there was no more violence, where there was no more troubles and all of that. The figure of this, or the example of this, is when we are baptized not as a public confession of our faith, but we are baptized according to the scriptures right here that we just read, that it is for the remission of sins. As the water washed away the evil and the wicked of the world, Baptism will wash away all of our sins. Amen. And I mean all of our sins. It doesn't matter what you've done. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The name of Jesus is powerful. And when we give our life to Him and we walk by faith and we say, "What doth hinder me to be baptized? I want my sins washed away in Jesus' name." And so the second floor had the door, which represented Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, he said, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Praise the Lord. Amen. So the promise of the Holy Ghost. In one place, Jesus said, "The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth." And so the Holy Ghost is revelatory. The Holy Ghost will reveal things to you. And it will not reveal things to you that are strange and unusual. The Holy Ghost is not going to reveal to you that aliens are real. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not going to reveal to you that some strange event or whatever. No, the Holy Ghost is going to reveal the Word of God to you. And if you're looking at the side of this ark, now you've got the top floor, and the Bible says there was a window that was finished out in a cubit above. So it was about a foot and a half tall window, the length of the ark to allow light to come in, so that they wouldn't be in darkness. Amen. We are not in darkness tonight, but we are in the light. Praise God. And the light that shines to us will take us through the storms, and it will give us a way to look and to guide the ship. Amen. So that we don't end up on the rocks. Praise the Lord. And so, washing away of sins and then receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've got a scripture I want to read here, and this will kind of tie all this together. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. Turn there with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. This is good word here tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed," now notice here, "you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Amen. That's awesome tonight. We are sealed with the Holy Ghost. And if the ark is, and it is, an example of our salvation today, there has to be a sealing on the outside to keep the bad things out, and there has to be a sealing on the inside to keep the good things in. And there's something here that just came to me this morning while I was looking at this, or whenever it was. I believe it was this morning. Maybe it was this afternoon. I was going over the scriptures here, and something just came to me. He said, "Pitch it." Everybody said, "Pitch it." Within and without, with pitch. All right? So I looked up. Those two words are different words. Those two words of pitch are different words. One is a derivative of the other, but when he said pitch it with pitch, it actually means it is kaphar, K-A-P-H-A-R, not K-O-P-H-A-R, and it's a primitive root that means to cover. Amen. The second one, he said pitch it. It means to cover, the action of covering. Amen. And the pitch then, pitch it within and without with pitch. The pitch becomes a cover. So we have a cover and we have to cover. I want you to cover it with a covering. Amen. I want you to cover the ark with a covering. And those are two different things. One is an element, one is material, and the other is action based upon that material. Are you following me here tonight? And it's so very important that we get a hold of this, because there are some things that we need to do. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. And so Jesus becomes our covering. When Adam and Eve sinned, this is so powerful when you really get a hold of it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible says they knew they were naked. They covered themselves with fig leaves. Amen. God came along and said, you're not going to be able to cover yourself with your covering, but it's got to be the covering that I approve. Amen. We cannot just go and say, well, I'm gonna cover this ark with Sherwin-Williams paint. Amen. I'm going to cover this ark with some new modern whatever it is, or we're going to put mud on the outside. We'll just splash some concrete out there or something. No, it's got to be the covering that God approved. Amen. Because God knows all things, doesn't he? He knows what's best for us. Amen. And so you read it there in the scriptures, the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them. They sewed fig leaves to cover themselves, but God made coats of skins and covered them. So there was a covering. It was a covering. It wasn't to cover. It was the covering or a covering. Amen. It was up to Adam and Eve. God didn't force them. He didn't snap his fingers and all of a sudden there was a covering on them. He made coats of skins and presented to them. Said, here, Adam, put this on. Amen. Eve, I want you to wear this. And what you'll look like afterward is the handiwork of God. Praise the Lord. What you will see is not the imperfect wood that's underneath the covering. You're just going to see the covering. You know what? One day we're all going to stand before God. I don't know about you, but I feel the Lord here tonight. When we stand before God, we're going to stand before Him naked in our sins, or we're going to stand before Him covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the covering is here, and the Bible says that as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. And so the decision is ours to put him on or not to put him on. Amen. I want to put him on. Amen. When I was 19 years old, I gave my life to God. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'd never read the Bible in my life and didn't know anything. I didn't know where anything was at, but I knew that I needed God. There was something inside of me that knew I needed God in my life. And someone said, would you like to get baptized? And I said, yes, I would like to get baptized. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand what the scripture said. But when I put on that covering, amen, when I was given that covering, I put it on, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and God delivered me from drugs and alcohol that very moment. Amen. God delivered me from some things that I had been battling for years and years, because now it's not Greg Wirst that's showing forth. It is the covering that God has given me that's showing forth. And the reason some folks don't want to serve the Lord today, we have a lot of anti-Christian sentiment in our world, in our schools, it's everywhere, is because that ark was not particularly beautiful. Now, if I had a ship, I'd want to paint it red. I like red. Wouldn't that be a nice color for a ship? That way, if you start to sink, somebody could see you and rescue you, or, you know. Or maybe a yellow, maybe the Corvette yellow. Amen. I saw a red Corvette the other day. I thought of Tessa. Amen. I still got my Corvette in my office there. Amen. I like the yellow color. Maybe I just make it a stripe of red and make it the rest of it yellow. And because I like, you know, flashy things. That's the way our world is. Amen. They like flashy things. I want to see things that appeal to the eye, that appeal to this flesh. But God said, I want you to use black tar. I want you to use black tar. And it's amazing, the first church that was built in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, it was covered with a black covering. And so when you look from a distance, it was black. Amen. It didn't look very good. It was ugly in some ways to the natural eye. But when you go through the door and you get inside, praise God, it was all gold and silver, beautiful colors, beautiful tapestry, and all of that. Amen. That's why when Jesus came, he was God manifest in the flesh, but he did not come with a beautiful physique. Amen. He didn't come with bulging biceps. Amen. Bulging triceps. He didn't work out at the gym and all of that to show off his physique. And in fact, the Bible says he was not comely, which means good looking. He was not good looking. And in a crowd, you would not even notice him. Amen. But if you peel him open like he did to the three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transformed before their eyes. If you please, he unzipped the flesh and said, here's what's on the inside of me. And it was a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. Praise God. And the glory of the Lord shone out of him. Amen. We're not going to produce revival by any kind of program other than prayer, other than Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not going to be healed because we get psyched up into some frenzy and healing comes. No, I'll tell you, it comes by the power of God and the power of God alone. I hope I'm making sense here tonight. I just really feel this right now. Amen. The Holy Ghost is our sealer. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we are sealed on the inside and we are sealed on the outside so that the bad things of the world will not influence us and destroy our ship, as it were. And we are sealed on the inside, amen, so that it will keep the good things on the inside. Praise the Lord, because there were flaws in the ark. And there are character flaws here tonight. Amen. We all have tendencies to go the wrong way. Oh, y'all look so nice tonight. But I know, because you're flesh and I'm flesh. Amen. And we battle with things. Everybody battles with different things. There is the weakness of this flesh. Amen. So how could God build a ship that was imperfect for the salvation of mankind? How could God instruct them to build out of imperfect materials, natural materials, take those things? They were not perfect trees, but they had to improvise. And then the only way that they could be saved was by the covering that God made for them. Praise the Lord. Say, well, I can't really serve God. I don't have what it takes. You're the good candidate right there. Because the Bible says God does not call many mighty. God does not call many wise. God does not call many noble people. But he calls the foolish people of the world to confound the wise. He calls the poor of the world to confound the rich. Amen. It's opposite. It's 180 degrees out of phase from our world. Amen. And so the only way that the ark could actually float was by God's covering. Somebody said amen. 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 Just like you and I, amen, that lumber was not perfect. That word sealed there, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm going to finish here shortly. But we are sealed. It means to stamp with a signet or a private mark. It's a security seal or a preservation seal. Amen. We are sealed. In those days, when something was sealed, they would take some clay and they would make a seal. The king had a seal. And if the king's seal was on that law, then it was enforced. But if it was not sealed, then it was not an original. It was not in force. Amen. And I want God's seal of approval upon my life. And it comes through the Holy Ghost. It comes through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. It comes through repentance. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. We'll read a couple more scriptures here tonight. Second Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. It says this, "Now he which establisheth us," or establishes us, "with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." We're here because of God tonight. "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Praise God. We are sealed when we have God in us. There's an old song that we used to sing, "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside." Does anybody know that one? Amen. "Jesus on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life." And it goes on and on. It's a really good little chorus that we've sung some in the past. Amen. But we are sealed. And when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, or rather when your sins are washed away in baptism, it cleans us out on the inside. Amen. All those sins are gone. And now it's a vessel that God will come and enter. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One more scripture tonight. One more scripture. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Turn there with me tonight. This is Bible study night. Amen. Is everybody there? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Praise God. Noah was really happy when he entered the ark and he saw that him and his family were saved. You know what? It was worth 120 years of work. It was worth spending his life for God. Amen. And I guess if there's just one thing I'm thinking of in my mind tonight, is we need to spend our life for God. If God has given you a career, then he wants you to spend it for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If God's got a call of ministry upon your life, spend it for God. Don't take up your time doing other things, but spend it for God. Give it to God. Let your life be lost in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, "If any man loses his life for my sake, he will find it. But if a man finds his life, he will lose it in eternity." Amen. I don't want to find my own life. I don't want to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and draw out my own ark. I don't want to do that. I want to say, God, what are the dimensions? Now, how do you want me to do this, Lord? Okay. All right. That's how you want it right there. That's how big you want it right there. Yes. Now get busy. Whew, what a job. Amen. What a job. If you ever get a chance, go to that, to the Ark in Kentucky. It's a life-size Ark that they built. And it is amazing. It really is amazing. How many of you have been there? Quite a few of us have been there. It's really amazing. It's all the way to Kentucky. It's a long drive there. And those of you that went with us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. 15 hours one way, I think. Amen. But it was worth the trip. And it's amazing because we left Augusta on our way to see the Ark, and it was pouring rain. And it poured rain almost the whole way there. And then when we were getting ready to come back home, it started snowing. And there was almost no way to maneuver in that snow. It was getting deep and slick. But we made it, praise God, because we were in the Ark. We were in the Ark. Let's stand together tonight. Praise the Lord. My goal tonight is not to be confrontational in any way. And I really don't want to take away from anything that God has done in anybody's life here tonight. But if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, I implore you tonight, I ask you tonight, to be covered by Jesus Christ and the shed blood in order for him to make coats of skins for Adam and Eve. Something had to die. Something that was innocent had to die, and the blood had to be shed. And Scripture tells us in Leviticus 17 and verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it, the blood, I've given it to you to make atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." Praise God. The innocent shed its blood for the guilty. And when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and his blood streamed out of his side and down his face and off of his back and through the holes in his feet and his hands, God was providing a covering for you and I, so that when we stand before God, the innocent paid the price for the guilty. I put him on that cross. You put him on that cross. But I'm thankful today God did not leave us in a hopeless situation. I'm thankful for that. I'm very, very thankful for that. There are many today that are hopeless. There are those that say there is no God. Who in the world would want to live their life that way? Amen. Who would want to live that way? Because what you have done when you say there is no God and evolution is a reality, that you and I are nothing more than just a combination of molecules and amino acids and everything else that it takes to build a person. We're more than just molecules put together. We were created by God, and God knew your name before you were even conceived. That's right. I can prove it to you. Amen. And he's got a plan. He's got a plan for your life, a tailor-made plan for your life. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. I really do. And I want to spend my life for God.